Put an end into this. You know how we do that?
No.
It's so that the sound on there, because we're recording to the external recording system, we can sync to the motion on there, because when you clap, you can see something you can hear at the same time. But we're recording already. We're going to use this.
Oh.
Yeah. That's good. See, this is what I always do to Scott. I sneak up on him and he doesn't quite know it's coming. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing this update this week with my son, Ari. Ari's been on a... You've been on a lot of the things I do publicly before anyway.
Yes, I have.
Remember when we used to travel and we used to go to England and Norway and places like that and we
that
could actually...
That was fun.
That was fun. We're going to talk about where we are, and we'll talk about some cyber stuff as well. But first of all, sponsor. I was just explaining that Ari's sponsors are important because sponsors do help us go away on holidays and things like that. And it's just really weird noise in the background. We'll come back to that in a moment. So it happens to be in a farm. So the sponsor this week is safepass.me. So I was just going to explain to you what SafePass does is they take passwords that have been in data breaches before. So I've got a bunch of them in Have I Been Pwned. They take those and they build them into a system that people can use to check whether or not the passwords that their employees or their customers are trying to use have been in data breach before, so I can try and stop people from using passwords that are like out there and hackers are then trying to use those to log into other people's accounts,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. So big thanks to SafePass ME. I think they're going to be one of the last sponsors of the year, actually. So anyway, they've been around for quite a while as a sponsor, so again, thank you to those folks. Let me talk briefly about where we are, then I'll talk about some cyber stuff, and we'll talk about some other things here. So here's a really good way of explaining how we are, and in fact, I didn't explain this to you either, but when I was setting up the camera, it's like when you're outdoors, you try to get the sun sort of behind the camera because then it gets light on the face of the people. And I couldn't find a spot to get the sun behind me here. Now, why would that be? Why is the sun's not behind us? Because you have a look. Where's the sun?
Above us.
Yeah, okay, the sun's always in the sky, but it's like directly above us because we are on the Tropic of Capricorn and we are almost at the summer equinox? Anyway, the one where it's the longest day of the year because the sun goes all the way down to the Tropic of Capricorn, which is in Rockhampton, which is, well, we went there literally just to get food last night, so it's like 20 minutes away. Mm. So at this time of year, the sun is like directly overhead. So we end up just finding the best spot out of the wind. But we're on a farm stay here. So do you want to explain like what's here on a farm stay?
We're in the middle of nowhere. This guy, we had a tour when we arrived yesterday after our 6.5 hour car ride. This is a 4,500 acre farm, so it's pretty big. And we saw a bunch of cows and yeah, that's basically it.
And then we went and got eggs this morning.
Yep, from the chickens.
You were worried about the rooster.
He was scary.
There's this big rooster in there.
At least I got 6 eggs. I only got one because you made her get one.
Well, yeah, anyway, we had to get the eggs and just get past the... I think it was more about getting past the fear of the rooster than actually getting past the rooster itself.
It's going to
land on me. And it's funny because when we walked up there, Al was like, how come that one chicken is like twice the size of all the other chickens? Well, sweetie, it's not a chicken. That is a rooster. So the sound we're hearing in the back, I think it's just a cow, but the girls are over there like patting one of the horses when we started this video, and then I looked around and I couldn't hear them, and I'm just hearing this noise, and I was like, what is this thing that sounds like a cow? Okay, no, it's not one of the girls. That sounded really, really bad, but I thought it was like someone calling my name. Yeah, anyway.
It kind of sounds like someone screaming, what up?
Yeah, something
if
like
you
that.
Listen to it.
You think that's what cows sound like? They just go, what up?
What up?
All right, I'll tell you what, I'll talk about some cyber things and then we'll come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this trip because I am connected, barely. The reason we're pre-recording this rather than doing it live is...
We're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. I'm getting like a megabit and a bit up or down at the moment, and it just wasn't going to work live streaming this. I think it'll be different next week. We'll be in Port Douglas when we do this next week, and we'll have much better connectivity. So things this week, and I'll tell you about some of these too, Ari. So as a story in here, Joseph Cook wrote about Pluto TV. You know what Pluto TV is?
No.
I didn't know either. I didn't know if it was like a Pluto from Mickey Mouse thing, but no, it's not just like TV full of a dog. So Pluto TV had a data breach, 3.2 million accounts. Now, I have put those in Have I Been Pwned. So it's interesting. Joseph Cox, the reporter, reached out to me to get a comment on this. And I realized after I gave him the comment, someone had already sent me the data. So I was like, okay, I better load the data then. Now, I just made the mistake of clicking on the link to read the article. Nothing loads, right?
DCO.
Oh, no, did I? Finally loaded. It just took a while. But here's what's interesting here. So he says, low-level hackers are trading a database of user information stolen from Pluto TV, a popular American internet television service. But Pluto TV has decided not to proactively inform users of the breach. So the company has decided that they don't want to actually tell people that there has been a data breach.
Hmm.
So how do you reckon that goes down? Like, why would they not want to tell people?
They wouldn't want people to try and fix it themselves.
Or might it look a bit bad for them?
Yeah, that maybe that, like, if they tell other people, maybe people won't not want to come to that company because they might not think the security is good enough.
Well, yeah, so there's that, because people could lose trust and confidence. But the problem is, so this had usernames, passwords stored as cryptographic hashes, which we'll explain another time, but passwords stored in a way that would be a little bit hard to use. But it's still people's usernames and passwords that might be usable. So, like, if your data was in there and you haven't been told that you're in this data breach, then someone could be using your username and password to log on, not just to Pluto TV, but to other places, because people reuse their passwords. So, Joseph says the move is somewhat unusual in a space where companies increasingly inform their customers of data breaches, even regarding data breaches that do not include passwords themselves, but rather information such as email addresses. So what Joseph is saying is that even if it was just your email address that was leaked, you really should tell people, you know, like if it was, let's imagine it was Have I Been Pwned and I had a data breach, which is possible, and I've got 3.5 million subscribers or something, like, all I have is their email address, but the right thing to do would be to say, hey, you gave me your email address and I had a problem and it's been leaked. So, yeah, often I've said in these videos, it's like if I talk to you guys about the correct behavior as a human being, it's like if you do the wrong thing, like, admit it and own up. And anyway, tangential. All right, this is just mostly me tweeting photos of beaches. or laying in the pool drinking beer. I work really hard, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
When you're at school.
Sure.
So that was mostly it. Actually, here's something interesting. So I asked online about podcasts, and it's coming up to Christmas holidays, as you know, in a lot of the world, people can't travel at the moment. They literally can't leave their homes for non-essential things. But for people that are in places like Australia and they get to travel, I wanted to know about podcasts, because
you should do a podcast.
Oh no! Well, hopefully this is one of the things that people actually listen to. It seems to be, because I see the downloads and people say nice things. But I was asking about which podcasts I should listen to. And that the number one thing that came up, and I don't know if you heard us listening to this at all yesterday, because you were just watching iPad with noise-cancelling headphones a lot of the time. But there's this one called Hardcore History. And this was, I got a lot of replies to this question about podcast. And Hardcore History was the one that came up the most. And I think you'd actually kind of like this one, because it was super gory. It was, this one episode was about like public executions in the times of the Romans, and even a couple of hundred years ago in, like, France.
We're learning in school, like, how people would have, like, public hangings.
Yeah, well, this was like that, but the guy is a really, really good narrator, the way he reads this. And he was sort of explaining to people, it's like these were a combination of trying to demonstrate to people that if you do the wrong thing, you might end up like this guy here and, like, pulled into four parts by horses kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it was also a spectacle, because people would go there, and he said it was like, in America, they call them tailgate parties, where people would, like, drive their trucks up and, like, fold the tailgates down, and then they'd sit there and they'd all have, like, beers and drinks and things like that and food.
While watching people get tortured.
Well, this is the thing, because they're saying back in the day, people would actually, it's the equivalent of, like, getting popcorn at a movie, because they want to sit there and watch people get tortured, which is kind of weird and messed up. So other things data breach wise, just getting back on that track for a while, into Have I Been Pwned, 4.2 million PTX accounts. And now, do you know what PTX is?
Because
I didn't know what PTX is. I suspect you probably don't know what
PTX is. It sounds like a name from Asterix.
It does, actually, because it ends in an X, yeah. I got to even remember, what was PTX? This is what gets so weird. There's so much data that people keep sending me, and it just sort of sits there as just huge volumes of stuff that I get to when I have time. An event organizing platform. Oh, that's right, because this is the one that was like Japanese. So because it's Japanese, there's a lot of people from Japan. I know that sounds really obvious. But that means that there's a lot less of those people already in Have I Been Pwned. So I think about a third of those people in Have I Been Pwned when I loaded it in. Most of the leaked data belongs to people with Asian names, which is consistent with the evolution of the PTX startup, which launched in Japan in 2011 and later expanded to Singapore before opening in the US and other parts of the world. So that's more on data breaches. There's really not a lot of other InfoSec stuff at the moment. FireEye had a data breach. That's probably the main thing. So FireEye is a massive security company that's usually the sort of company that's there to help people investigate their own data breaches. So for them to have a data breach. But what was kind of interesting is they haven't said which country, but they've said it was state-sponsored hackers. So state-sponsored hackers means it's another country trying to hack their things. Now, they're an American company. Who do you think wants to hack American companies?
Pretty much everyone else.
That's reasonable. There's a couple of big ones that often pop up in the news.
Japan?
Not so much Japan. Japan's very friendly to...
What about the Pearl Harbor thing?
Well, that was a long time ago. So it's a good point, but it's no longer the 40s. So that was then. So they're very friendly now. The big ones that often pop up is China.
Uh-huh.
So, and you know there's a lot of trade wars and things. We're talking about trade wars the other day.
And then the wine double.
Yeah, so they've for viewers in other places, China has whacked massive tariffs on Aussie wine because they've said Australia's been dumping wine and sort of driving down the price. It seems to be part of a larger trade war. So the tariffs now are up to 200%. So we're saying, you know, like a $10 bottle of wine could now be $30. So if you're a Chinese person in Beijing going to buy a bottle of wine, and there's like Australian wine is $10 and Chinese wine is $12, and now Australian wine is suddenly $30, so what are you going to do? You know, like it'd want to be pretty good wine. And Russia's the other big one. So we're always, I shouldn't say we're worried about the Russians because it's not racist, is it? Are they the same race? It doesn't sound very nice.
No.
But they're big countries with very, very sophisticated militaries and very sophisticated cybersecurity capabilities too. So very often when we see nation-state hacking, it's between the likes of China, Russia, and America as well. I mean, America's very good at the cyber. So anyway, that was FireEye. That was big news. So that was pretty much it on the InfoSec stuff. In terms of other things we're doing here, was there anything that you learned that was interesting about the farm, because this is like a proper working farm?
Yeah.
Can you remember the stuff Ryan the farmer yesterday was telling us?
There are a lot of chores.
Yes. So we're sort of saying, I was like, mate, do you ever get a holiday? And he had to stop and think about it. But there's a huge amount of work to do on a farm like this, because it's everything from managing sort of the balance of the ecology. So he's saying that when the British sort of settled Australia a couple of hundred years ago, everything you see here behind us, everything was covered in trees. And now there's no, yeah, basically no trees because the land was cleared for farming. He was saying, you know, one of those big gum trees would normally drink about 200 litres of water a day out of the soil. So what happens when you cut down all the trees that are drinking all the water out of the soil?
There's no water.
Well, there's a lot more water because it's not being drunk by the trees. So it all rises and it brings a lot of salt with it. So this land is so salty that they can't even put metal fence posts in. So remember yesterday I was showing that they these 9-foot posts. It's kind of funny actually. He's like, I don't know why we use feet. It's just everyone does for fences.
Mm.
So they cut these 9-foot posts, which are probably about, let's stick with Imperial, like a foot in diameter. You know, like they're about that thick. And then what they do is they chop them into like either 4 or 5 bits. Remember he said like a pizza?
Uh-huh.
And every fence is made out of wooden fence posts. And he said the fence posts will last 30 or 40 years. We kind of joked and went, well, that won't be your problem anymore, mate. That'll be your kid's problem, right?
Yeah.
If you have to replace a fence post in 30 or 40 years. So that, you know, they've got to balance the fact that a lot of the land has got a lot of salt in it. Some of it so much that they just can't grow crops now, and of course they can't grow crops there. It's even like, what are the cows going to eat? Because it's not growing proper grass. Mm. And then they're trying to breed the cows, so it's got a combination of, they're using Brahman from India, which are really resilient to like ticks and flies. Because you see how many cows had like lots of flies on them?
Yeah.
So that they make them resilient to that. But also breeding them with some of the English breeds that have got, I guess, a higher quality meat, or a meat that people find more tasty. Because at the end of the day, they've got to do that. And you remember that cattle yard where he showed what they do with the calves?
Oh yeah, well, they branded them?
Yeah, well, they did several things, none of them which sounded very much fun. Can you remember what they were? So branding them was one.
And then they give a shot for, like, a vaccination shot?
Vaccinations was one.
They'd, like, write some...
Well, that was the brand was to put in, it was a combination of... What's that?
The frog.
Oh, we'll talk about the frogs in a moment too. So the brand was a combination of sort of who owns the cow and the age of the cow and the farm and everything. They'd castrate the males because they only want to keep a few bulls, and they'd cut the horns off as well. And it all sounds kind of gruesome, but he's like, look, it's basically like a 60-second exercise, and then they go back out in the farm, they go back to the mother. And he was talking a lot about how they keep they got to sort of keep harmony, right, in the herd, because if one cow is a troublemaker, it kind of messes up the whole herd.
Kind of like Elle.
Yeah, your sister's like, well, we can't get her out of the herd. Like, she's in the herd.
No matter how much we want her to.
No, she's fine. She just needs a bit more nurturing than what Brian gives some of the cows.
Yes.
All right, so talk about the frogs.
So, the frogs. When we were having dinner last night, there was, like, a frog on the deck up here. And it was, like, a little green tree frog. And, like, after, like, an hour, there were tons everywhere. And Dad needed to close his exercise rings for his watch, so he was running around the house. And then when I decided to go around the back of the house so I could run with him, I accidentally stepped on a frog. And so, like there were, like, a couple frogs just, like, standing outside, and so I was, like, hopping away because I didn't want to step on any more.
And you, I think you did scream a bit when you stood on the frog.
Yeah. Because I had no idea what it was. I thought it was a snake for a second. Because it was, like, squishy and hard.
Yeah. So, but they're really cool, right? And I tweeted a photo one last night. And they're apparently, like, I was then doing the Wikipedia thing. So a lot of people have them as pets because they're very docile little things. Mm. And anyway, so the kids go to bed. And we'd gone to, remember we went to the Bundy Rum Factory?
Yeah, with the creaming soda.
So Bundaberg is famous for two beverages in Australia. So one is Bundaberg ginger beer, which we've had many times before, which is a non-alcoholic ginger beer, and also Bundy rum, which is alcoholic rum. Yeah. So it's really famous for that. So we went to both those places and we got stuff from both. So we went to the Bundy rum place, we got some rum.
We got the best creaming soda in the world.
And we got really good creaming soda, which Charlotte said tastes like Norway Christmas drinks, right?
Yeah, like, because one day we were on the boat and Charlotte, like, had some of my creaming soda, and then she realized it was something like Norwegian Christmas drink.
So she's found a little bit of home in, like, Bundy creaming soda.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we go and we get the rum, and we got, like, a white rum and a dark rum, and you guys are going to bed, and we're sitting outside, and it's really tranquil, and it's like, oh, I'll have a little bit of this rum. So I poured some rum into the glass, and I was like, oh, I should get a photo of this because it looked really cool and there's nice lights and everything. And I put the Bundy rum on the ground with the bottle, and I put the glass there, and I'm taking a photo. And Charlotte's like, oh, you know, it would be really cool. You should get one of those frogs, and then you put it in front, and then it's like the frog and the Bundy rum and everything in front of the glass. And then we established that frogs jump. So this freaking green tree frog jumped into the glass of Bundy rum.
Yeah.
Now, there wasn't a lot of rum in there, but there was enough. He would have touched it
to get drunk.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it worked out for the frog, but because the frogs, and someone's probably going to tell me I'm wrong here, but as is my understanding, amphibious frog, I think they're all amphibious, that they actually absorb a lot through their skin as well. So I'm not sure how much rum this poor little bugger drank through his skin.
This morning.
We did find one dead one around here this morning, but it looks like it had been dead for longer. In fact, it was right there somewhere. But, But there are a lot of interesting creatures around here as well. Yeah. The cows. You rode a Shetland pony yesterday. That was fun.
Yeah, it almost bucked me off.
You nearly got bucked off a pony. That would have been such an epic shot. Yeah. You're getting bucked off by a pony. All right. Well, look, I think that's probably about it for now. I know there's not a lot of infosec stuff, but I hope people are enjoying the Australia bits as well. I did tweet earlier on in the week with a map of the entire trip we're doing, that the kids are staying with us up until basically the northern end, and then Charlotte and I are going on to Alice Springs and Uluru, some of you might know as Ayers Rock, down to Barossa Valley, all sorts of other places as well. So you'll be around the next couple that I do, and maybe we'll try and do a live streamed one from Port Douglas somewhere. It's going to be really, really different to this place.
Yes.
It'll be fun. All right, thanks for watching. Hope you enjoy this. I know it's a different one. The next probably four will be different ones too. Cheers, everyone.
See ya.